terror on Mount Everest. China tries to starve the U.S. of critical resources. And are Chinese satellites helping Russia target Ukrainian infrastructure? That and more on this week's China News Headlines. Welcome to China Uncensored. I'm Chris Chappell. And I have been waiting for this. A task force working for the White House has followed the money and named various people and organizations responsible for funding Antifa and other leftist protest groups in the U.S. And guess whose name popped up? That's right, Neville Roy Singham.
And we found a network of NGOs. It's not just the Soros Network, the Open Society Network. It's other funding networks, the Arabella Funding Network, the Tides Funding Network, Neville Roy Singham and his network, Foreign Cash.
Why am I not surprised? For those of you who don't know, Singham is an American businessman and the founder of a number of NGOs whose ties to the Chinese Communist Party runs deep. Now, this isn't the first time that Singham's name has come up in high-level U.S. investigations. This headline is from June 13th, and we've done our fair share of talking about Singham and his ties to violent protests in America as well. But this is the first time that Singham's name is popping up in connection with Antifa, which has been designated a foreign terrorist network in meeting with President Trump at the White House. So kind of a big deal. Singham lives with his wife in Shanghai. And in early July, Representative Anna Paulina Luna of the House Oversight Committee said that he was hiding from their letter requesting testimony. Given that China is not exactly our friend and isn't likely to turn Singham over, it might be hard to prosecute a case against him. But this is one more sign of how involved the CCP is in promoting unrest in America. And speaking of China being shady, according to an investigation by the Wall Street Journal, China is secretly paying Iran for oil and avoiding U.S. sanctions by basically bartering the oil in exchange for infrastructure projects, which, given the success rate of China's BRI projects, I'm shocked China didn't have to pay them to let them construct these monstrosities. The money is funneled through a mysterious third-party organization called Shuxin, while the infrastructure projects are insured by Sinosure, a large Chinese state-owned insurance company. The oil is transported to China via indirect routes using shadow tankers and involving multiple ship-to-ship transfers, often with oil from other countries mixed in along the way. Rule of thumb, gang, a pretty big sign that you might be the baddies is if your shipping has the word shadow attached to it. China, of course, says it's unaware of any such bartering system and that it opposes unilateral sanctions, which means they're either liars or idiots, or most likely idiot liars. But what this tells us is that Washington is going to have to seriously ramp up enforcement and detection of violations if they want sanctions to mean anything. Luckily, it seems the U.S. is getting on it, because the U.S. is targeting Chinese companies that make drone components used by Iranian proxies, including Hamas and Yemen's Houthis. I'm sure China will deny it, you know, being idiot liars and all. The U.S. Commerce Department Bureau of Industry and Security confirmed on Wednesday in the Federal Register that it was adding 19 Chinese companies to the BIS entity list for restricted trade, for helping with the purchase of various components that have been found in Hamas and Houthi drones, including U.S.-made electronic components. This makes it harder for American companies to do business with the listed companies, which hopefully will mean fewer U.S.-made electronic components in Houthi drones. And after the break, is China choosing targets for Russia to hit in Ukraine? Welcome back. China's Communist Party has clamped down even harder on rare earths. Rare earths are used in pretty much every electronic device, as well as electric batteries and magnets. They're also crucial for military use. China mines and processes almost all of the world's rare earth minerals, which means they have a lot of leverage. And they've decided to use it. They've just announced a new rule that applies to all products in which as little as 0.1% of the value is rare earths from China. The CCP will now require companies to get export licenses from China for all these products. And when the CCP says all products, it means all products. It doesn't matter whether they're made in China or in Taiwan or in America, as long as they contain Chinese rare earths. So basically, if a Taiwanese company like TSMC makes semiconductors and sells them to US companies, that's illegal if they don't get permission from China, at least according to the CCP. It's like when the CCP claimed that Hong Kong's national security laws apply to everyone around the world, and even in space. Oh look, I just broke Hong Kong's national security law. So how will the CCP enforce this new rare earths rule? Well, they'll just threaten to stop selling rare earths to companies who don't comply. This is a huge escalation from back in April, the last time they curbed rare earth exports. Now, this latest move is right before Chinese leader Xi Jinping is scheduled to meet with President Trump at the APEC meeting later this month. So some may see the CCP's moves as just a negotiating tactic. But China's control over rare earth is a huge problem that I've been warning about for more than a decade. It's almost like no one listens to the world's biggest YouTube channel on China, based in New York City, hosted by Chris Chappell. If they did, we wouldn't be in this mess. According to Ukrainian intelligence, China has been providing intelligence to Russia on Ukrainian targets from Chinese satellites. What? That doesn't sound exactly like something China would do with a country it calls its no-limit partner. But how would it benefit them? Ukraine's Foreign Intelligence Agency also suggested that some of those targeted sites could belong to foreign investors, and given that an August missile strike by Russia hit an American-owned appliance factory in western Ukraine, it's not hard to see why people are concerned. Oh, that's how it benefits them. The Ukraine war is China's proxy war against the West. Meanwhile, some are saying that Putin's been cornered by the CCP because China has cut off high-precision machine tool exports to Russia. This equipment is especially important for making advanced weaponry, including drones or radar systems. And according to the owner of one Russian firm that specializes in integrating Chinese machine tools, even exporting already purchased machines from China is accompanied by unpleasant incidents. Of course, others are pointing out that tons of these machines have already been sold to Russia, and they aren't the kind of thing you need to replace constantly, but still. Sometimes it seems like the relationship between the Kremlin and the CCP is really like one step forward, one step back. It sounds less like a partnership and more like instructions on how to do the hokey pokey. A snowstorm trapped nearly 1,000 hikers on Mount Everest during China's national holiday. Chinese state media reported on Sunday that heavy snowfall at tourist campsites stranded the hikers at over 16,000 feet up, while one hiker who rushed to get off the mountain before the heavy snows reported that some tents were crushed by the snowfall. Somewhere, a Hollywood exec is reading the story and going, "Greenlight it!" Hundreds of rescue workers headed up to clear trails and return the hikers, and all of them were found and made their way to safety, albeit with some suffering from hypothermia. Because of the earlier than usual snowfalls, authorities are warning people against entering the region without permission. This is terrible, but it's more proof of my theory. Being lazy saves lives. Can't freeze to death on a mountain when you're napping on the couch. And if you think today's China is rough, imagine being so miserable you start missing the 2000s, the flip phones, the quiet family time, the hope for a better future. Today, millions of young Chinese are getting addicted to nostalgia. The CCP is not loving the vibe. If you want to see why the CCP is so terrified of what seems like a harmless trend, check out my latest deep dive episode, China's New Drug, Nostalgia. It's available for fans who support China Uncensored on ChinaUncensored.tv. Click below to watch a free preview. I'm Chris Chappell. See you next time.